First Baptist Church Savannah on this third Sunday of Advent. We are deep into the Advent season. The waiting is almost over. But we are here on the third Sunday of Advent. For those of you who are guests from out of town, hello. It is wonderful to have you here. And please give us a chance to talk to you afterward and get to know you a little bit better. If you're a guest from in town, welcome as well. And as always, to those of you who are here every week and whose faces we get to see and who we call our community and our family, it is good to see you back in this place so that we may worship together. So we have lit two candles together, and on this third Sunday of Advent, our third candle represents joy. Lit today on this Gaudete Sunday, a Sunday in Advent to rejoice and be joyful, it reminds us of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that there was a special child who would be born to her, a child that would save and deliver all of us.
God wants us all to have joy. The angel who announced to the shepherds that Jesus had been born told them, "Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of a great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." We light this candle to remember that Christ brings the promise of a new life, a life in which the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that He is the bringer of true and everlasting joy.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, our Creator, who sent John the Baptist as a voice crying out in the wilderness, who calls all persons to repentance and faith, who prepares the way for the coming of his Son. We believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, whose first advent was announced by angelic messengers, whose birth at Bethlehem occurred among throngs of humble travelers, whose second coming will be in power and glory. We believe in the Spirit of God, who preserved the Christ child from the wrath of King Herod, who directed wise men from the east to the baby Jesus, who guides all of us in the way. O God of all our hope and longing, travel again this year with your faithful pilgrims. Walk with us to Bethlehem and beyond. Join with your people as we journey through life.
Don't sit down. Remember last week I told you we would go on field trips. So we don't need to sit down. We have to go somewhere else, okay? So we're going to travel over here, okay? So we're going to walk across here, say hello to Dr. Tom, okay? And we're going to come over here. Now, I know there's a Chrismon tree over there, but it wouldn't be a field trip if we didn't walk a little way. So we're going to come over here. So last week we talked about the Advent candle up there, and we talked about what each one of those mean. But another thing that gets put up here at First Baptist every year for Christmas is a Chrismon tree. Now when you look at the tree, and some of you helped make some of these this year, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, yeah, a few of you helped make some of these. What are some of the things that you see up here?
I see a
tree. Okay, Jacqueline? Okay, yeah? Okay. Yep, we see the Ten Commandments. What else, Madeline? This one right here, or this one right here? That's right. Katie, what else do you see?
I see the
star up there. This one or
this one?
That one. Oh, this one right here. Okay, Jacqueline?
I see
the Jewish star. Yep, okay, the six-pointed star. Yeah, the Star of David. Now, for many of you, how many of y'all help decorate your Christmas tree? Okay, now, I am willing to bet that on your Christmas tree somewhere is an ornament that you made. Is that right? Okay, at some point. And probably some of you made them like in pre-K. Did y'all do this? Or you made them in kindergarten. And I am willing to bet that somewhere there's one of them that's like a picture of you. Am I right? Okay, and maybe you put them together and you hung it on the tree. Now, all of us, or probably most of us, if we go to the people's houses that are in this room and we go to their Christmas tree and we say, you know what? Tell me about the ornaments on your tree. I'll bet you almost everyone here would be able to say, you see this ornament back here? We bought this in 1988. And they would tell you a story about it. And they would come over here and say, you know what, our child made this back when they were in pre-K. And they would tell you a story about it. Because I'll bet you that almost everybody on their tree has ornaments that tell a story of their life. They tell a story of when they were young or when their children were young. And what's fascinating about the Chrismon tree is that, in a way, it tells the story of Jesus and it tells the story of the Bible. Like you said, we have the Ten Commandments here. We've got angels that told the story that Jesus was coming. We've got the cross that you were pointing out, Madeline, the one right here. This is a cross that actually can represent the four Gospels because it's got this cross and then four other crosses around it. And so we've got this one right here that talks about the Trinity, and we have this cup that talks about when Jesus was dining with his disciples, this dove that represents peace and that came upon Jesus when Jesus was baptized. And so we have a full story of Jesus right here on this tree, just like many of you have trees at home that tell a story of your life. But this tree for us has lots of symbols that remind us of the God that we worship and the story that is in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And so when you're sitting in church and you're looking at the Chrismon trees, many of these symbols here that people in this church have made represent and tell the story of the God that we worship and the Jesus that is coming. So can we pray together? God, thank you for giving us symbols that can remind us of your story and remind us of the story that you have invited us into, a story of hope and a story that brings life to all. Amen.
First lesson is Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that their descendants shall be known among the nations and their offspring in the middle of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with the garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Here ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second lesson today comes from the book of Psalm 128, or 126, excuse me. a song of ascent. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Here ends the second lesson.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from a familiar passage. You can almost recite it by heart. It's a worthy passage for us to hear again and again and again. From the first chapter of John, the first five verses, and then verses 10 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the written word of the Lord. Christmas for me has always been a time of amazement and wonder. Amazing are the secular things. Amazing that with no apparent interest in religion at all, the massive commercial establishment of our country starts their glitzy and stimulating merchandising campaigns months before, strategizing how to separate us from our money. Amazing because of Jesus, stores make more money at Christmas than they do at any other time of the year, but management is afraid to say, Merry Christmas. Amazing that the spirit of Christmas is so intense that people trample each other to get a bargain, refuse to let you into traffic, and give you a dirty look and mouth obscenities, all in the spirit of Christian love, of course. Amazing the extraordinary expenditures for tasteless, tacky lawn decorations and the energy to power them by people who rarely enter the church and couldn't find their Bibles if they were stuck to their noses. Amazing, isn't it? But there's something more important than those tongue-in-cheek observations. For me, it's the real wonder of Christmas. I wonder why God loves this world, this beat-up, eroded, A-bombed, ozone-depleted, earthquake-shattered, typhoon, tsunamied, sun-seared, rain-drenched old world. I wonder why the glory of the Christmas sky existed for only an instant in history and then faded into the background. I wonder how Mary and Joseph managed to be social outcasts on the one hand and were still able to resume a normal life on the other. As broken and conflicted, as corruptible and sinful, as isolated and convoluted as humankind sometimes is, I wonder why God didn't do what the Bible says he did before and just wash the whole thing away. I wonder why God revealed God's self at all. Yet it's in the very description of pain and anguish that we find the seeds of an answer. Scripture said, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. John 3:16, you know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, planted in the very DNA of every human being is a silicone chip, as it were, that resonates with the energy of the universe. From the very moment of human creation, humankind has become driven to reach beyond the known and the familiar, to explore the unknown and the uncommon. We've been urged to reach beyond our grasp, to inquire and to experiment, to discover and assimilate and to advance. That God-placed energy, that elemental God-inspired inquisitiveness, provided sufficient motivation for the fabrication of animal hides into clothing, for the discovery and recreation of fire, for determining that something round would move better than something flat, for figuring out that vines would bind branches and twigs together, for turning plant fibers into fabrics, for climbing mountains and fording streams and migrating to new hunting grounds, and domesticating animals and seeding fields and inventing language and creating symbols to convey spoken and intellectual forms of discourse, for gathering into tribes for self-defense, into nations to secure the common welfare. God placed such intellect and talent into the hearts of humankind to enable the discovery of the laws of physics and molecules and microbes and medicines and mechanics and automobiles and airplanes and computers and rocket trips and trips to the moon. God created, and not by chance, a place that could sustain his created order and those whom he made in his image to sustain even you and me. Consider the planet we live on. The Earth's size and corresponding gravity hold a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, only extending about 50 miles above the Earth's surface. If the Earth were smaller, an atmosphere would be impossible, like the planet Mercury. If the Earth were larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen, like Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain plant, animal, and human life. The Earth is located the right distance from the Sun. If the Earth were any further away from the Sun, we would all freeze. If we were any closer, we'd all burn up. Even a fractional variance in the Earth's position to the Sun would make life on Earth impossible. The Earth remains the perfect distance from the Sun while it rotates around the Sun at a speed of 67,000 miles an hour. Do you wonder why sometimes you get dizzy? It's also rotating on its axis, allowing the entire surface of the Earth to be properly warmed and cooled every day. The Moon is the perfect size from the distance from the Earth for its gravitational pull. The Moon creates ocean tides and movement so that ocean waters don't stagnate. And yet it restrains our massive oceans from spilling over the continents. God created a chemical that sustains us. Water. Colorless, odorless, generally tasteless, and yet no living thing can survive without it. Plants and animals and human beings consist mostly of water. Water has an unusually high boiling point and freezing point. Water allows us to live in an environment of fluctuating temperature changes while keeping our bodies at a steady 98.6 degrees. It's a universal solvent, allowing thousands of chemicals and minerals and nutrients to be carried throughout our bodies into the smallest blood vessels and capillaries. Water freezes from the top down and floats, so fish can live in the winter. God created and invested in us an amazing computer, the human brain. It processes more than a million messages a second. Your brain takes in all the colors and objects you see, the temperature around you, the pressure of your feet against the floor, the sounds around you, the dryness of your mouth, even the texture of an item in your hand. Your brain registers emotional responses and thoughts and memories. And at the same time, your brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like your breathing pattern, eyelid movement, hunger, the movement of the muscles in your hands. When NASA launches a shuttle mission, it is assumed a monkey did not write the plan, but intelligent and knowledgeable minds instead. How does one explain the existence of the human brain? Only a mind more intelligent and knowledgeable than human beings could have created it. As God allowed his creative energies to range over the universe, truth and beauty and intelligence and rectitude, demanded that his creation have a moral dimension as well, a universe where every action has an equal but opposite reaction, where beauty covers ugly, where truth lies beyond the lie, where good beats back bad, where joy emerges after sadness. God created a moral order in which truth and justice and mercy surmount the heart of humankind, in which love triumphs over good, over hate, good over evil, life over death, even as tiny blades of grass emerge from the cracks of a Brooklyn sidewalk. If you've ever labored long to create something valuable, a painting, a scripture, sculpture, a novel, a doctoral dissertation, a remarkable meal, a marriage, a home, a child, it would be an extremely perverse act of confused mind to destroy it. Is there any wonder then that God had to come down to preserve a thriving creation so special, so unique, so remarkable, so amazing, that in the heart of the human intelligence, so intelligent and loving a God would not annihilate what he had created? God of very God created a way out of the difficulties in which we find ourselves. Listen, the Bible was written over 1,500 year span by 40 different authors in different locations and on separate continents, in three languages, covering a diversity of objects and subjects at different times of history. Yet there's an astounding consistency in its message. Throughout the entire Bible, the same message appears repeatedly. God created the world we live in. He created us specifically to have a relationship with him. In John 15, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Second, God deeply loves us. "I have loved you with an everlasting love," Scripture says. "Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." That was written by Jeremiah, long before we even realized that Jesus was the one who touches our hearts and minds and spirits and blesses us every single day with every breath we breathe. God is holy, and therefore he is not in an eternal relationship with sinful people. John 8, 23 and 24 tells us, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you did not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." But God provided a way for sins to be forgiven. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come unto him or her." And God asks us to receive his forgiveness and have a relationship with him that will last for eternity. Referring to us, Jesus said, "I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Heaven came down because on its own earth cannot rise. Left alone, humankind has been equipped with incredible capacities by the grace of God, but it cannot save itself. A righteous God in a moral world demands wholeness and perfection. Not wanting his amazing creation to vanish, loving you as he does. God in Christ joins us in our earthly journey, celebrates our achievements, sees and understands the consequences of our failures, and draws us to himself as a sheep is drawn to his shepherd. Heaven came down, and we are safe. To me, that is the wonder of Christmas. May God bless you exceedingly abundantly this day and always. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, your love for us is so extraordinary, so deep and so broad and so wide, that we can hardly contain it. Yet you have blessed us in ways that are so very remarkable. Life itself is unbelievable. Lord, any one of us who picks up a newborn baby and just looks at that baby and sees the perfection of little tiny eyelids and eyelashes and little tiny fingers with little tiny nails and tiny little feet and occasionally a smile. And yet you created us from that and allowed us to become who we are today. Some young, some old, some older. Yet you have blessed every day with the richness of your creation and have made it possible not only for us to live, but for us to live forever. We praise you, O Lord, O Lord God incarnate. Amen. In Psalm 34, we read these words, "We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." Let us take time now for silent prayer, and then I'll offer a prayer for us, and we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we settle into winter with its cold days and even colder nights, bare trees and brown ground, we discover that we can see more. Bare trees reveal distant vistas, bare twigs become crystal gems, and the forest crunch uncumbers families of deer foraging as we all do for sustenance and life. In all this, we are reminded of the beauty of your creation, the intensity of your imagination, and the evidence of your extravagant providence. We bow before you in worship and adoration, consumed by the awesome beauty of the universe and the giftedness of your people. We praise you, O God, and we love you. Almighty God, consume us with your passion for goodness and truth. Compel us to be more than we thought we could be, to reach farther than our grasp, and to be willing to live on the margins of our zones of comfort such that we dream new dreams, plan new plans, and risk new risks. Guide and strengthen our resolve to work diligently to reach our neighbor who needs us, and the saving power of your grace. Help us to share the gospel through our lives and works, and so expand your kingdom. This must be our hope and our resolve. O Lord, every day, world news is filled with pain, warring nations, conflicting interests, immoral aspirations, abusive relationships, suffering and death. Is there no end to the violence which staggers your creation? Please, O Lord, please, guide us towards the highways of peace, because we seem to be unable to find them on our own. May the killing of the innocents end. Father, we lift before you the hungry, the hurting, and the frightened, within our congregation and without, and ask you to give them courage and strength and faith to meet the obstacles confronting them and to overcome. Bring healing where there is disease and pain, hope where there is despair, resiliency where there is temptation, and peace, blessed peace, where there is torment. You are the great physician, and by your grace and love, surely we are healed. Hear us, Lord, as we share words of faith taught to us by Jesus, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
God graciously gave the gift of Christ, the light of the world, to all of the world. So now may we follow God's example of extravagant generosity by giving of the material gifts that God has gifted us with. Let us all pray together. Bountiful God, we rejoice in your goodness. You have done wonderful things for your people throughout the ages, and we are grateful for the precious gift of being forgiven through Christ Jesus. You brought us out of sadness and into joy as you tenderly wiped away our tears and gave us laughter. Let our gratitude overflow in love and kindness for all people who are near and far away. Use our gifts and offerings to bring hope and happiness to our neighbors through the mission of this church. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
As God gave us the gift of Himself through the person of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can give Him except yourself. Yourself. All of who you are. Your goodness, your grace, your blessing, your love, your generosity, your caring, your feeling, your love, all of those things you can give in God's name to someone else. But there are other emotions that also rise out of us. Emotions of impatience and criticism and dislike and sorrow and pain and suffering and anguish. Those things we can give back as well. Lord, just take it away. Just take it away and magnify in us the goodness that you placed in us, that we might truly someday walk with you and not in any way feel guilt. You have the opportunity to make that decision right where you're standing, right where you're living, right where you're thinking, right where you're growing, right where you're doing, just by giving your heart to the Lord. As we sing Joy to the World, you have the opportunity to really express your joy in being one of God's children.
Thank you. You can be seated for a second. A few announcements before we leave here today. Again, welcome all of you who are guests today. And this week, guess what? There is nothing on Sunday night this week. We have had some wonderful services the past two Sunday nights, and they have been fantastic. But tonight, Nothing this Sunday night. Now, next Sunday night, that's a different story. We've got our Christmas Eve service, and so make sure that you make plans to be here for that. It's going to be wonderful. Little note to you, remember that the church offices will be closed starting on Thursday and remaining that way until Monday, January 1st. There's no Wednesday night this week either. If you haven't gotten an Advent devotion book, I think we still have two, maybe. And we might have to run around and find one if you need one. But if you haven't gotten one, make sure that you get one of those as well. A reminder to the transition team that you all are meeting tomorrow night. And today, big news, our children are having their Christmas party at Skater City. Is that right? Skate City or Skater? Skate City? It's SK and the 8, and so it throws me off. And so I'm like, is it Skate, Skater? They're going to have a whole lot of fun. And so they're going to go and they're going to skate. And if any of the rest of you want to come and skate, you can. I mean, it's totally open. So they're going to have lots of fun this afternoon. I think that is it. And so if you will, stand and hear our pastoral benediction.
Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.